Good morning.
Morning.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. We're going to continue our study through the book of James, and though when we look at this scripture, it'd be easy to focus on the tongue and our speech. And we're going to look at that, don't get me wrong. And we're going to get onto it more in depth in chapter 3. But right now I want to focus, because James gives us a list of things that we should be doing. James tells off, he starts off with this command that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. I'm reminded of a story of Winston Churchill and one of his detractors called Lady Astor. Lady Astor was at a place with him, and she said, "If Winston Churchill was my husband, I'd poison his tea." To which Churchill answered back, "Madam, if I was your husband, I'd drink it." I don't remember either one of them claiming to be Christian, actually. But I definitely can forget this idea that they were quick to speak. They were quick to speak, not quick to listen, and also very quick to anger. And if you read the history of Churchill, he definitely could have a temper on him. The problem is we don't need to be like that. We hear the story and it's the wit of it, and it sounds funny, but it's truth in Christian lives. We need to be careful how we respond. We need to be quick to listen. And this doesn't mean, oh, I listened for 2 seconds and then moved on. It means this: we need to be focused. We need to listen to hear what people are actually saying. And sometimes, have you ever noticed that sometimes what people are saying is not what they're saying? And when we try to be quick to listen, be focused on people, this means we try and need to do that, you know, what's called having connection when we're speaking. I got ready to say the word that came to my mind that actually we refer to that as, and it left me. So whatever, there's a real fancy word for it. We'll get to it later, I'm sure. But we need to be connecting to people when they listen. It means we need to pay attention. I know there have been times that I've been fooling with something on my phone, and I've heard every word that was said. I even figured out I was already knowing how I needed to respond. Unfortunately, the person I was speaking to didn't get that impression. And of course, I'll have to be honest, there have been a time or two when somebody's come in, it was her for sure, and I was fooling with my phone or my computer, and she said something, and I'm sure she said something very smart. I still have no idea what it was, because when I looked up and she gave me that look, y'all know what it means. The guys, you know what I'm talking about. Did you say something? Did you want something? Not now. Well, what was it? Never mind. I still don't know a clue what it was. That ended well. I was not quick to listen. And it got me in trouble. And it does get us in trouble. The problem with if we're not doing these things, our tongue will do something and it will get us in trouble. And our tongue, as we'll see in verse 26, can actually make our religious faith worthless. More into that a little later. But I would point out this. It's not just your tongue. Nowadays, it's your Twitter posts, or your Facebook posts, or your Instagram replies, or whatever social media thing you're on there, and somebody says something, and before you have a chance to think about it, you reply, yeah, and your mother, or whatever you want to say. And like, and afterwards you're like, I probably shouldn't have said that. Yes, you shouldn't have. There have been a number of times that I've got ready to respond to something, and I thought, this person will not hear me. It will not help them. And what they're saying is absolutely false, but in this place and at this time, it will do no good. I'm listening in that moment. I'm seeing here this person is speaking out of anger and out of bitterness. And if I try to respond in kind, it's not going to help. So what should I do? I should be slow to speak or maybe silent altogether. Because if we respond without thinking, we get ourselves in trouble. The scriptures tells that over and over again. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20 says, if you see one who speaks in haste, that means if you talk quickly, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Ouch. Proverbs 18:13 says, To answer before listening is folly and shame. In other words, if you're answering somebody without actually listening to what they said, you're in trouble. And that happens often, usually during political debates. Somebody is making their point and somebody else is answering, but they're not answering the point that was questioned. They're making their own point. It's foolishness. It's shame. Proverbs 10:19 says, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Charles English translation, keep talking is not going to get yourself out of trouble. It's going to just dig yourself deeper. Or as the English Standard Version says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. The more you talk, the more trouble you're going to get yourself into. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. I heard a couple of laughs. Yeah, you did it too, huh? Proverbs 17:27 says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even tempered. See, James doesn't just tell us that we're supposed to be quick to speak or slow to speak, quick to listen. But we're also supposed to be slow to anger. Anger will get you into trouble. It will. And we live in a culture today where it seems like people out there are trying to push people's buttons. And trying to tick you off. And here's the truth. The Bible and science says when you get angry, you're not thinking straight. When you get angry, you're going to be in trouble. James actually says human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I'll say it this way. If you get angry a lot, you're probably going to get yourself in trouble a lot. You're probably going to sin. Because when we respond to things in anger, human anger, it gets us in trouble. Now, anger is a gift. It really is a gift from God. And it can show us what we think may be wrong in the world. If we get angry because we hear something, that's because we think something's not right. But if we respond in anger, we're responding with that fight or flight thing that God put in us to respond to instant threats. You need anger. You need that adrenaline push if you're being attacked. If somebody's getting ready to attack you, you need everything you can get to fight it off. But if you're sitting in front of your computer or in front of your TV and somebody says something, there's no fight or flight here. There's nothing you can do except respond in anger and hold on to it. And because you're not actually getting up and actually doing something active, it will destroy your body. And God knows that. And that's why he says, if you're quick to anger, you're going to be in trouble. That's why he tells us that human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger is dangerous. Yes, there is a time and a place for it, but it is rarely to be used in our lives. That's why we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We need to think things through before we respond. Because if we don't, we're going to oftentimes respond in anger. And what is going to come of that is not going to be godly. I don't care what the cause is. People have done horrible things for all the right causes. And typically, that happens because people respond out of hate. They respond out of anger. Psalms 37:8 says, "Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil." People tell you all the time, you need to stay angry to fix this problem. That's great advice. It's not scriptural. That advice is not from the Bible. Anybody who tries to keep you angry is probably trying to manipulate you, but they are not teaching from this. Scriptures tell us that we need to do not let the sun go down on our wrath. And yet the world around us wants to stay angry all the time. It's wrong. It will get you into trouble. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." It's far better for you to have yourself under control than you'd have the power of Rambo or whoever the big name is in the theater now, who's the fighting guy. Doesn't matter. In ancient times, someone who could take a city was valuable. And Scripture says it's better for you to be patient than to have that kind of power. It's better for you to be patient, to have self-control, than to be a huge, important general. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things. The one who devises evil schemes is hated." How bad is hate and anger? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, "You've heard it said long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother and sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raca, shall be answered to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of hellfire. And calling somebody you fool is basically the equivalent of saying, you're a degenerate, there's no help for you, just go to hell. That's what Scripture is saying. And the Bible says if you're holding that kind of anger, that you kind of wish that kind of things, then you're in trouble. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, don't be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Ecclesiastes 4:31, it says, Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 9 says, since you have been raised with Christ, if you're a Christian, this calls to you. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you shall appear with him to glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is adultery. Because of these things, wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and put on new life, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the Creator. In other words, if we should be like Christ, we should be putting off these things. And one of the quick ways to help control your anger, or a way to help control your anger, is to be slow to speak, quick to listen. Listen. Don't just respond. Don't just respond. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Let's be honest, folks. We're going to get ticked off sometimes. Usually, besides the news media, it's relatives. Because we have certain expectations of our relatives, don't we? And when they don't meet those expectations, we sometimes get a little bit out of shape. Okay, we get angry. They promised to call, and they didn't. They promised to do this, and they've actually done the opposite. We're going to get angry sometimes. The thing is, we don't stay angry. And when we do get angry, we don't sin. In fact, it says, do not let the sun go down while you're angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Let me tell you something. Holding on to anger is the same as giving Satan a foothold in your life. And Satan is out to destroy you. And therefore, if you want to help the devil destroy you, get angry and stay that way. Now, I know some people say, well, I'm just quick-tempered. I just can't help myself. Guess what? Yes, you can. Is it going to be easy, maybe? No. Jesus came to transform us, to change us. We need to be walking in His Spirit and doing things His way. And there are some things maybe in our lives that we need to stay away from. For an alcoholic, what is the one thing you shouldn't do? You shouldn't go into a bar and order a drink. That's kind of a dumb moment, right? Well, maybe for you, the thing you shouldn't do is turn on Facebook or watch the news. You say, I need to be informed. Typically, you can watch the news once every 6 months and you can find out everything that's going on. Most of the stuff out there nowadays is meant to cause a response. They want you to engage their network because they get money from it. Yeah, they get money from ticking you off, which should really tick us off. But we're not going to let it, because God says our anger is not going to solve the problem. We should do things the way God wants us to. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who patient calms a quarrel. You've all had those people in your lives, right? Those people who can come in and just their presence can sort of calm things down. And then also you got that other person in your life. If they come to the family reunion, you're like, oh no, what kind of fight are we going to have this time? I love them in the Lord, but I hope they don't come. God save them, because you're the only one. You can guarantee if they show up, there's going to be a fight. Here's the thing. Let's make sure not to be that person. For some of us, that may be true in most areas of our lives, but maybe there's one or two areas we know that we have a temper with. And therefore, maybe we need to watch out ourselves in that area. You've all heard me joke all the time about donuts, right? By the way, I've been having a donut in months. I've had pastries, which I know they're the same thing, but don't. The round donuts, I haven't had any. I promised my daughter I wouldn't until I lost weight. I just defined it differently than I think she did. But if I want to stay away from that, most of the time I'm okay. But where should I not probably stop by? God Cannon, somebody's mentioned that place, right? Okay, yeah. You know, there's a certain area of Walmart I need to stay away from. If you know you've got a problem, stay away from it. If you know sister so-and-so gets you ticked off every time you call them, say, I love you in the Lord, and quit calling. Say, well, they call me. There's this thing called a answering machine. Let it pick up. And by the way, you don't have to listen to the whole message. Because what the problem is, if we allow ourselves to get caught into this, it'll destroy our Christian witness. It'll destroy the work we want to do with God. The best way to defend ourselves is to not get in the fight. But it's not just our words and our emotions. James goes on and says, rid yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. If there's something in your life, other things in your life that is morally wrong, get them out. Too often we like to say, oh, at least I'm not like that person. Yeah, I may occasionally watch a movie I shouldn't, but at least I don't gossip like so-and-so. Yes, I may get angry every time I watch the news, but at least I'm not watching pornography like so-and-so. No. Whatever it is, get it out of your life. Complaining about someone else's life not being pure doesn't make your life better. All it does is distract us. So whatever it is in our lives that is wrong, we need to deal with it. In Christian circles, it's easy to point our fingers at one thing or another and say, that's really bad. But the truth is, we're not living as Christ wants us to live, it's bad. It's like, how do you want to die? From breast cancer or, prostate cancer? Neither! No! How do you want to die? From hanging or being shot? I'd like neither. I'm going for C in the sleep, when I'm 95 or older. I'm 60 next year, so now I'm going to think maybe 120. We're going to go for that. What will destroy you in your Christian life? What will destroy you in your Christian life? It's the thing that besets you. If it's anger, you need to deal with it. If it's not really listening, you need to deal with it. If it's moral issues, you need to deal with it. If it's pornography, you need to deal with it. If it's hate and anger, you need to deal with it. Because God wants us to live a life that is pure and good. I could go on, but we'd be here for a long time longer. The question we say, what do we need to do, or how do we need to deal with it? The answer is we go to God. We seek Him. We walk in the Spirit. James talks about looking into the mirror. What is that mirror? The mirror is the truth. And when we look in the truthfully into the mirror and see what it says about us, we need to deal with it. The problem is, sometimes people come to church, they hear a message like this, says, oh yeah, I need to deal with my anger. And then they go home and they forget all about it. And James says, that's about as smart as the guy who looks in the mirror and walks away thinking, you know what? I really like all this hair I have. I think you forgot what you look like. There's none up there. Kind of foolish if somebody walks away from the mirror and like, what do I really look like? Okay. Somebody does that, we know they've got a problem. But people do that in their lives all the time because they come to church or they read their Bible and they hear what God says and they immediately walk away and don't listen to it. The Word of God can show us what we need to do and also where we need to change. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he says, having been regenerated, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the living and abiding Word of God. Jesus will save us. He's the Word of God, but this is also the Word, and it will help change us and transform us. The Word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing, dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, the judgment of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. What do we need to do? If we want to change, we need to get into the Word of God, and we need as much as anything to let the Word of God get into us. And as we see in Romans tells us to walk in the Spirit, walk in the love of God. And when we do those things, then our faith is going to be something that can be celebrated. It's something that can be good. James ends this section talking about the fact that if our religion is not what it's supposed to be, it's worthless. If we say things and we're not doing it the right way, our religion is worthless. Now, I know some people don't like the word religion. Guess what? Jesus came to establish a religion. It's not a religion like the world is based on, because this faith, this religion, is based on a relationship with Him. And it has ways we're supposed to live and act. And if we are not doing what, if our actions and our words are not matching up with the Word of God, our religion, everything we say, is worthless. If you say, I'm a Christian, and you don't act like a Christian, and you don't talk like a Christian, your religion is false. And James is saying, watch out. Why? Because the world around us is trying to draw us away from God. Satan is trying to draw us away from God. But we want something that has depth, that has life, that can truly transform, a pure religion. That when the world looks at it and says, I want some of that. Unfortunately, someone will look at the truth and say, I don't want any of that. Jesus said that would be the case too.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Go in peace.